When you find, just
find it, just hold your place there.
In the 14th chapter of Luke, Jesus had been invited to the home of a chief Pharisee for a meal. Verse number 2 says that there was a man there with dropsy. In the 4th verse, the Bible lets us know that Jesus healed him. He is a merciful and compassionate God. And because of Jesus demonstrating such love and compassion for the man that was suffering with the dropsy, the Bible tells me that there were some present that were not happy. They were stirred in their minds and they did not like what had gone on. Now look and think about it. As wonderful as the healing was, with a man being relieved of his pain and suffering and all that goes with what he was suffering, they thought it a terrible thing that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. So I want to just leave something to begin with here, a note of maybe a notation so that we might understand something. People can get so caught up with tradition and with things how they've always been that when God does something a little differently, they just don't really understand it.
Do you understand what I just said? If things are not just exactly like we always do it or like others do it, then maybe we have the idea that it's not the right way. But I'm glad for the love and the mercies of God that God knows what He's doing and He healed on the Sabbath day. Then during the course of the meal, according to the 15th verse, there was a man at the table that was began to say, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Let me say that again. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, that sounds good. Now, it is good. It's true. But I want to make a clarification. The man was not giving a prophecy of the kingdom of God and all of its beauty and peace and wonder in the millennial reign. Nor was he given a prophecy of what it's going to be like in the eon of ages with the saints of God in the glory world of the Lord. This man has read and heard about the Old Testament prophets. He's a Jew. He heard about the Messiah that was going to come on the scene and how that there would be healings and miracles and how the Messiah would open blinded eyes and cause the lame to walk and all the rest. And now that this man Jesus at the table has healed a man of dropsy, this Jew at the table in the chief Pharisee's house believes in his mind and in his heart, this man must be the Messiah. He's done exactly what the Old Testament prophets said would happen. He's healed. He must be the Messiah. Like most Jews, he believed that when the Messiah came, he would overthrow the Roman authority, that he would bring freedom to the Jews, that he would set up his throne in Jerusalem, and he would rule from the throne of David. Let me leave that with you. Let me share that with you here. I'm going to stop a moment. Get it in your mind. Jesus is ministering during his earthly ministry before he was crucified. He's invited to the home of a chief Pharisee. While there's a man with dropsy. It's the Sabbath day. Jesus heals the man. And there's those at the table or those in the home that see Jesus heal on the Sabbath day. Some were upset. But one man believed this man that does the healing must be the Messiah. He believed what the prophets had said when the Messiah comes, how he's going to bring deliverance to Israel. And this man believed that he's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. He's going to get us out from under of the thumb of the Roman Empire. And we're going to have freedom. We're going to have our own king. And this man, Messiah, the Messiah, this man, Jesus, will go to the throne and will set up on the throne of David and he'll rule. He did not have the millennial reign in mind, no doubt. Nor did he have the eon of ages in the eternity with God. He was thinking about right now the Messiah is going to do for Israel. Since he was the seed of Abraham, he was sure that his family would be included in that kingdom. And it's sad what I tell you now, but there are not only Jews, but there are many non-Jews, Gentiles, you and me, and people such as we, believe that since they were raised in a Christian home, and since they had Christian parents, and since they were raised in Sunday school, since they've been good citizens and lived good moral lives, that surely they'll go to heaven. But the Bible teaches something altogether different. And the sad part is, and it was mentioned in our Sunday school lesson just briefly, with what's going on in the world and what's going on in our nation and what's going on in the state of Virginia, this thing is winding down. One day, possibly one day soon, for many, there's going to be a rude awakening. People are going to be roused out of their sleep spiritually. Let me use this. Year 2001, when those twin towers were struck, and I've mentioned this before, it was soon after that a woman came and sat in the second row. And she said when she saw that happening on the television, she thought, the rapture's taking place, and I'm not ready. And although she found out it was not the rapture, it was just terrorists that were trying to destroy how we are living in America, she went to the altar and prayed and accepted Christ. But the longer things went, it seemed like things smoothed out. And no longer towers coming down, and no longer a thousand being destroyed by the terrorists. He went back on God. Walked out on God, decided, well, maybe I have plenty of time. Listen, when the Lord comes, there'll be no time.
Come on, preach.
Many will never have another opportunity. 3,000 died, about 3,000 died a day. 9/11, 2001. All of those that died in the Pentagon, in the Twin Towers, in that plane that went down in Pennsylvania. There's coming a time when the Lord comes, brother. There'll be no time for many. They'll perish in a moment's time. And so many have the idea, since I was raised in a Christian home, and my mother knew how to pray, I'm going to heaven. It'll take more than that to make it to heaven. I'm going to read from the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning with the 16th verse. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. They all with one accord, one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the matter of the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And I may say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. While still in the home of the Pharisee, Jesus gave a parable. He was speaking of an ordinary occasion with a family gathered around the table and enjoying fellowship, maybe with a guest there. He said in the 16th verse, a certain man made a great feast, a great supper. Involved a lot of preparation, a lot of time, maybe a lot of expense. It's a special time. The invitations have been sent out. It's a special day. Everyone's been given ample time to make this, to arrange the schedules and get everything lined up so that they might be there and be a part. In the 17th verse, when the day finally came, supper was fully prepared, the servants sent out,
Tell those invited, come, for all things are now ready. This parable was given a long time ago, 2,000 years. We've come to a time now, after all of these years have come and gone, it speaks to us of the year 2014. It speaks to you and me. It speaks to our church. It speaks to the entire world. I thought over the years we've had Bible study about the end time. I've loved it. I love to hear Revelation taught. I love to be a part in the discussion. We've gone to the book of Daniel and the book of Ezekiel and the book of Zechariah and to Matthew 24 and to Mark 13 and to Luke 21 and to Revelation. About the end time. Because we've discussed that and know something about the end time, you know the day of grace is winding down. You know the Gentile age is about over. You know the time is running out, that God's about ready to pull the shade down, the curtain down. Yet millions have never heard the story of Jesus. Brother Tom was on the computer in the Sunday school office yesterday, and we learned that there are now over 7.2 billion people in the world. How many thousands are born every minute, every day? How many die every day? And I thought with all of that, many of our loved ones, many of our friends are still without God, still unsaved. Time is running out. And the master of the house sent the servant out to tell the people, come, for all things are not ready. And now I believe this with all of my heart. I believe God has had a hand in for this church being in existence. I believe the major goal, the major purpose of us being here is not to raise money. Not for people to see who we are, what we've done. Without Him, we're nothing. We are called aside to be a witness. We are called aside to lift the banner high. We're called aside into the light side. In a dark place. And brother, the world is dark.
Amen.
Let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We're called aside to witness.
Yes.
To share the good news of salvation. Come, for all things are now ready. Tribulation is about to break across the land. Like the servant here in the parable, as Christians, we're commissioned to go. And we must go and invite them to come. Not just to church, but to hear the gospel and be saved. Then notice verse number 18. And they all with one excuse began to make, with all with one consent began to make excuse. That's the picture of so many of our day. Think about it. God has been so good. He's loved mankind. God loved man so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross. The price of our redemption has been paid in full. For the past 2,000 years, the invitation has gone out. Come, for all things are now ready. One writer says, whosoever will, let him come. Salvation has been provided. And for all, for everyone. The tragedy is, millions of our world, of every tribe and every nation according to the Bible, have wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They've rejected Him. They've rejected His invitation and turned down the offer. I'm going to pause a moment. This is important. I hope everyone will grasp it today. The invitation has gone out. This church last year gave over $80,000 to missions. This church. I got a call this week from one of the missionaries that we supported years ago. He's retired now, Brother Hobart Howard. He said, thank you for your church and the loyalty and the sacrificial giving. Tell the church we thank them. He's no longer on the field. He shared with some other things with me about his family and asked us to pray. Then he said something like this. How then in America, we've had the Word of God. Year after year after year, decade after decade, century after century, we've had the Word of God. We've had revival. God's blessed in America. Our nation was founded on the Judeo-Christian principles. They're getting away from it, but thank God for the foundation.
Yes.
Amen. America is getting far away from the say of the Lord. But God is going to have a people. And by the grace and help of God, I intend to be one of them. Amen, amen. And this is so important for us to understand today. Just because America has been blessed of God does not mean that God's going to continue to bless if America turns their back on God. Pray one for another. Pray for the church. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders.
Yes.
But time is running out. Time is running out. And the Bible said they sent the servant, and the servant said, come, come, for all things are now ready.
Yes.
Don't delay. Don't put it off now. All things are ready. And they began to make excuse. I have preached a sermon on excuses. I'm not going to preach that today. I have listened to so many excuses while having been in the ministry for over 54 years. And I think sometimes people don't have one, so they just make it up. But when we stand before God, and I and you stand before God, did you know excuses would be very puny, very empty. And so my question this morning, from the reading of the Scripture, when it comes to accepting Christ, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being a Christian, when it comes to living for the Lord, when it comes to being separated from the world, what is it? And I want this to ring in every one of our hearts and minds. What is it that people are designed to be excused from? It's been a long time since I was in grammar school. But I learned right away, if you want to be excused, you raise your hand. I don't know what they do in school nowadays. But I wonder, what is it that people are anxious to be excused from when it comes to serving God? Please have me excused. I'll use a little story to go along with this and then come back to the sermon. Years ago, when we were in California, and I've mentioned this to some, but Tom was a young fellow, wasn't in high school yet, and in grammar school, and they were going to teach him how to dance in this grammar school. And Tom said to the teacher, we're Christians and we don't dance. And Denise had a brother in the same class. And the teacher told Tom, that's all right. You don't have to. Dewey stood up and said, I go to the same church. I don't dance either. And we still don't believe in going to dances. Everybody can say amen. But how many make excuses? And I ask the question, what are they making excuses about? What is it that they're trying to get out of? What is it that they don't want to be a part of? The people in today's reading want an excuse from going to a nice banquet that's been prepared by the chief Pharisee. Or in the parable, in the chief Pharisee asked when Jesus gave the parable, how that someone, a master, had prepared a nice banquet and they were making excuses why they can't come. My question today is, what excuses can we make for not going to heaven? So I want to read some things that I jotted down. When it comes to repenting of sins, they want to be excused. When it comes to being forgiven and having the guilt and the condemnation remove from your heart, they want to be excused. When it comes to accepting Christ as Savior and let Him rule in your heart and life, they want to be excused. I want to rule my own life. When it comes to living holy, separated lives, they want to be excused. Let me be excused from that part. When it comes to having a happy, peaceful life, one filled with real meaning, they want to be excused. I'll stop there for half a moment. Brother Ken was reading the bulletin and saw where my wife and I will celebrate our 60th wedding anniversary next month if we live and the Lord tarries. God's been good. 60 years of marriage. 50% of the marriages in America don't make it hardly any time. Break up. Now we come to the place in America where marriage is no longer even necessary. Just a piece of paper. So many living in sin. Many of them in churches. Feel like they're all ready for heaven. Listen closely. How many today are making excuses for a way that they have not gone or will not do? When it comes to enjoying the bountiful blessings of the Almighty God, they want to be excused. Brother, I'm glad I got saved. I don't want to be excused from the blessings of God. When it comes to having eternal life and a home in heaven, they want to be excused. It's almost unbelievable, but it's true. People make excuses why they don't want to serve the Lord. We've all been there. But I don't want to end sermon on such a note. I want to come back again and share something with you. The Bible says that Jesus was giving a parable. He wanted the people to understand it. How that the man had prepared a banquet. Everything's ready. Come, for all is now ready. And they all began with consent together to make excuses. And I thought, what God has done for the world. And people make excuses why they don't want to serve Him. Why they don't want to live for Him. And they turn it all down. But I'm going to go to another scripture today. And I'm going to leave this part with you out of my heart. I'm glad God came to me a second time and knocked at my heart's door and gave me another invitation. I was a backslider away from God, but I'm glad He came back and knocked at my heart's door and said, if you'll open, I'll come in. I've made excuse after excuse, but I'm glad that Sunday. I'm glad that I had no excuse. When God called me out of the world and wanted me to live holy, I'm glad that I didn't try to make excuses why I couldn't live holy. God said I could. He said He'd help me.
Amen.
I hear excuses all the time. Why I can't live this and why I can't live that. That's nothing but an excuse. I'm glad of the depths of my heart. How that God has blessed and ministered. I'm going to read the 19th chapter of Revelation. Turn there in the scriptures with me if you will. Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to read the first verse. After these things, after the tribulation, after it's run its course, we're getting down to the battle of Armageddon. 7 years of tribulation, terrible in the world. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Multitudes in the heavenlies, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved by grace, have received their glorified bodies, rejoicing and praising the Lord, shouting, Hallelujah! 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 Brother Bruce, Jerusalem's mission this morning about saying amen and going along with the word of God. And when God blesses, brother, it's all right to say hallelujah. And to say it today, let's say it together. Right now. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. Man, that sounds good. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I've heard people shout and holler till they got voice and something else. But when you say hallelujah, it's something real.
Yes, it is.
Praise God. When you say hallelujah, it's almost hard to keep your hands down.
Amen.
Like it's all almost automatic. Thank God. They're standing around the throne. They've got their glorified bodies. Saved by grace. Enjoying the blessings of God. They're shouting hallelujah. Praises unto God. Then I come to the fifth verse. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let me leave this with you today. Before I close out the sermon this morning, I'm glad today that I did not make the excuse when God came by and invited me. I said, yes to the Lord.
Amen.
When he wanted to sanctify me, I said, yes to the Lord.
Amen.
When he wanted to feel, I said, yes to the Lord. When he wanted to bless us, I said, yes to the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
People make excuses, but listen, if you will, this crowd, if you look at this crowd that I just read, from the 5th verse to the 9th verse in the 19th chapter, if you look at this crowd, I am there.
Yes. That's right.
Look closely. For the Lord Jesus is having a marriage. And the bride has made herself ready. And she's clothed in white linen, pure and white. The righteousness of God. And that bride is made up of the saints of God. The church. Not a bundle of light. Not the Baptist church across the street. Not the Free Baptist churches down the street. It's made up of the saints wherever they are. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look closely, I'm in that crowd. I'm a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful part is, the Bible says, they have made themselves ready. And in that ninth verse, ninth verse, and he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Have you accepted the invitation? Do you intend to be in that meeting at the marriage supper of the Lamb? If you're ready this morning, you've got something to rejoice about. He said, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and it's the voice of many waters, and it's the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. 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 There's going to be a banquet.
Yes.
I've been invited.
Yes.
I'm going to be there.
Right.
We're going to rejoice with the Lord. The question I asked today, are you ready? If you are, say amen.
Amen.
Will you stand together with me this Sunday morning? Hallelujah. Rather than me giving an altar call, rather than the piano player coming to the altar, up to the piano, I'm going to write where you are to begin with this morning. If you are saved and you know you're saved, I want you to begin to thank God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Don't wait for someone else. Thanks God for saving you. Thank God for saving you, amen. If your sins have been covered by the blood, thank the Lord today. Hallelujah. If the name is written down in glory, praise God, praise God. Tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're saved by grace. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed by the blood. We've been kept by the power. We're the children of God. Rejoice, son. you're standing, right where you are. If you are not ready right now, would you like to step out of your seat? Go down the altar and pray with me. Join with me and let's pray together. Anyone in the house, if you're not ready right now, you can be today. Listen to these words. Come now. Come now, for all is ready. Come now, for all is ready. Come now, for all is ready. Hallelujah. The invitation is going out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. While you're standing, while you're standing. Look this way just one more moment. Look this way just one more moment, if you will.
Hallelujah.
What I said a while ago about the time in which we're living, don't take that lightly.
No.
It's almost over.
Yes,
yes, it is.
You can come at any time.
Yes. Nothing in the Bible, 1189 chapters.
Watch him pray.
Not one thing in the Bible needs to be fulfilled before the rapture takes place.
Watch him pray.
He can come today.
Amen.
Whatever you do, amen, don't make an excuse. Serve God.
Yes.
This is the best life in the world. They made excuses to that banquet. But the 19th chapter of Revelation says there's going to be a multitude singing praises unto the Lamb. We're going to be there. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for this people this morning. Thank you, God, for saving from sin. Hallelujah. Thank you for washing the slate clean. No sin shall have dominion over you. No condemnation, Paul said. We've been justified by faith. We're the children of God, redeemed by the blood. Hallelujah. We're on our way. We're on our way. We haven't arrived yet, but we're nearing the end. It's almost over. Now I'm asking God, don't let anyone that's been in this service this morning miss heaven. Don't let anyone in that great day be left out, having made some flimsy excuse why they couldn't serve God, why they couldn't live for God, why they couldn't be holy. Work out your divine purpose in every heart and meet every need, I pray. And we'll give you praise. We love you. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Could I ask you to do something in closing, for the closing dismissal? Would you come down this way to the middle aisle? Everyone over here, come to the middle. Right where you are, that's good, right where you are. Come to the middle. Just reach across the aisle there and join hands. Would you do that? Just slide down over there and join hands. That's wonderful. That's good. That's good.
Praise God, praise God.
Don't you know it's going to be something when the saints of God get home?
Yes.
What a day that will be.
Yes.
When my Jesus I shall see.
Yes.
While we pray. While we pray in dismissal this morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Will you do that?
Yes.
Out of the depths of God. Just thank God.
Yes.
For being so good.
Yes.
For being such a Savior. For Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. George Parnell, lead us in prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, my God. You've been so good to us. You've blessed us. You've kept us. You've met every need of our lives. You're the wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 We magnify your name today. Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. My God. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings upon our lives. Thank you for being so good to every one of us. Help us as we leave here today. Come for all things in heaven. Hallelujah. We're going to hear the voice from heaven say, come up in us. And we're going to be leaving here. Happy divine will. Bless every family. Meet every need, I pray. And we give you praise for all that you do. We love you, we love you, we love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Shake hands because you're friendly. Thank you for coming today. God bless you, everyone. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Thank you.